You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I don't think I'm going to be able to get to everything today. I never say that. I don't think it's possible. We have not even done what happened with Ohtani yesterday. The gambling controversy that I'm guessing, and please correct me because I don't know how this is being covered. Ohtani is hugely famous. And yes, $4 million, $4.5 million with a cover-up and the hugely famous player, that seems like a gambling scandal. Hell, last week I said if the worst of that is true, that'll be the biggest gambling one of the biggest sports scandals we've ever seen. And then Jonte Porter happened. And I'm like, nope, that's a bigger one. He's not as famous. Now, obviously, if a famous person did it that way, but in terms of an obvious link to, ooh, this person, if I were Ohtani's people, I would throw this guy. You guys think the economy would just bury a translator? Like, if I was thinking about the most mafioso, allegedly, you could put together to protect the economy of Ohtani, I'd call and ask if Michael Porter has a brother to create this controversy that's so stupid, but so obviously guilty. Allegedly. I do not need a trial. Whoa. I don't need to live in an American system of government. I don't need an explanation. All of it allegedly, denial, allegedly. But holy shit, if I didn't know better, I could now, by association, say, so that's why Michael Porter played that way in the finals, the worst starter on the floor for Denver and Miami.
Now we're talking.
Oh, whoa.
That is a bridge too far.
Allegedly.
Don't have the right reckless speculation hat.
Okay, I have it. Hold on a second.
Time to throw away all journalistic credibility and get reckless. Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
You're good.
Thank you. I need that. I can't do it. I don't. Nobody was going
to
do it.
He was genuinely looking for Greg
somebody,
to play the role.
Somebody to tell me that I was good.
I'm surprised you're bringing Michael into it.
Yeah.
Well,
to be honest.
Well, he hasn't yet. We're about to get reckless.
Too far.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's the point of being reckless unless you're going to be reckless?
Go all the way, man. Do it.
Speculate, Dano.
Well, just tell him he's good. Just say it.
Well, Juju said it, but I feel like, hold on.
Well, you need that chair to say you're good.
Yeah, you're good. Go.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
In the finals last year, Denver crushed Miami. Michael Porter was the worst starter in that series by leaps and bounds. I know this because before that series, one of my expert opinions was, you all are going to learn how good a basketball player Michael Porter is. And then we watched the finals together, and none of us learned that, and he made me embarrassed.
So you got a grudge.
So I got a vindictive grudge. My bias, that's right. This is, I allege to be a journalist. I allege.
Allegedly.
But I, too, bought by DraftKings.
Yeah. How much money did you lose betting on Michael Porter?
Well, I bought, this is the thing. I went Michael Porter over on 6.5 rebounds or something. And then I'm looking out there, and he's just wandering around and missing shots, and then it's 2 rebounds. I'm like, you're not trying, yeah, but I can't prove it.
Yeah, but you're not bitter, though.
But you're not that bad, but right. I can't prove it. I can't. This guy can got me. It. This guy, allegedly, might have taught his brother how to do this. poorly. But
oh, whoa. Fade the music back up.
It's all reckless and it's irresponsible and it's
missed like 30 straight threes in the finals, by the way.
So bad.
As if you were shooting with bigger balls.
On multiple threes. But imagine Thunder's not crash the boards. I mean, neither here nor there, but I'm 16 and
gotta
3
follow your
and
shot.
Michael Porter Jr. are 2 of them.
You can't miss 30 threes if you're only allowed to take 10.
Yes, thank you.
Allegedly.
Limit the threes.
Okay, I will not fix basketball today with Billy Gill.
You're not trying.
Well, we already
we're
going
to be perfectly honest. We're trying
it's
to fix it. There's only one person fitting out.
I have a stamp that says bigger balls.
Limit the games, limit the
$7 million, please.
I have a stamp that says fixed.
Whoa. Okay.
Which way? Oh, hold on.
What
was fixed?
That's a good stamp. I like that both ways, that stamp where we could just, man, you don't think we can do a segment every day just called fixed? Allegedly? Every day, something in sports. But if we're going to let the walls come crumbling down, then let's let them come crumbling down. The gambling money is everywhere. It is. This is just the start of it, Otani. Some nobody over
Dan, keep your eye on the bigger ball.
Yeah.
And don't put this on the companies.
Exactly right.
I say, as someone that is totally unbiased,
yeah, exactly.
Look at the perpetrators.
Yeah.
Okay, I will entertain. I want to get to these other things, but I will entertain your bigger ball just this way. Just in order to,
thank you. You guys are minimizing my bigger ball thing, and I really don't appreciate it because I haven't heard that anywhere. Yeah. Make the ball a little bit bigger.
Imagine that.
What I'm telling you, look, there are any number of times I get dragged into God knows what sewer on the internet because somebody on this show has had an opinion that then gets attached to me. Warren Sapp wants to kill me because he thinks that I think he has bad breath.
Allegedly.
I've never said that.
Stukats,
allegedly.
Stukats has said that.
Hmm. I thought you said it.
I am willing to endorse, though. I usually avoid. I prevent. I try. I'm like, they said it. It doesn't matter. In this instance, I am willing to endorse Mike Ryan's take 100% as fixing basketball. The one fix stamp, not the other one we're talking about where the games are fixed.
The Jonte Porter stamp.
Allegedly. The big ball theory that he throws out there has only one problem in it. Because these guys are such scientists about shooting, the one time they did try to change the ball just a little, there was a revolt by the players because shooters could no longer shoot. Yeah. So you want less scoring with
a ball. I am not making Swaggy P a scientist, just for the record. And I understand. It was calamitous. But we have a problem here. Guys are chucking up 15 three-point shots a game, and the audience has voted saying that is unappealing to the eye, and they are voting with a remote control. So how do we legislate this without putting in absolute limits like Greg Cody is recommending?
But why are you against that? Because not only does it help what the problem is, it adds a whole new strategy to the game.
It's communist.
It's un-American. Let me shoot threes as much as I want for as long as I want with who I want to do it with.
The U.S.
Oh,
we don't limit. We explore our inhibitions over here and do so. What is America like? Hedonism and big things. So be hedonistic with a bigger ball.
Yeah, and how's that working, the hedonistic bigger things? How's that working with
the NBA?
I mean,
we're still on the medal stand when you look at the globe, all right? So I won't apologize for being on the medal stand.
Okay.
He's not going to apologize for bigger balls. Right. He's not going
to
do it.
I'm going to apologize to the audience for not mentioning these 6 words in, 52 minutes in? Paige Buchers, Juju Watson, and the kid herself, Caitlin Clark. Phenomenal performance.
You know what, Juju, you're so right about this.
Them.
Juju, I'm sorry. So let's, because this show, look at how male this show is right here.
Bigger balls.
Well, this is what I'm going to say. The advertising slogan, a big stamp on our show should be, for us and the NBA, it's hedonistic, bigger balls. But who's got bigger balls? The women.
Well, they do.
Fixed.
Caitlin Clark and her entire team. Yeah. Gutsy performance. Her last performance in Iowa. Our sister Lucy was there. We might holler at her later in the show. But man, it was such a great team effort, because the other team was West Virginia. They was playing their best game of the year, in my opinion. They had that look in their eyes. And then Caitlin Clark and them girls said, no thank you. We're moving on.
I saw that look. Can co-sign it.
Yeah. She looked at the crowd and said, explicit word after explicit word.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So, like, allegedly, internet sleuths are alleging that she said, shut the bleep up.
Yeah, she did.
But she was at home.
I saw it. Wait a minute. Greg saw it. We've got a journal.
I've seen it.
Your eyes can lie. Look at what's his name's brother.
Allegedly.
Yeah, but she was at home. She was playing at home. Why is she telling the home crowd to shut the bleep up?
Because a West Virginia fan was on her a little bit. And it's very, you know, I'm not a lip reader. Very difficult to mistake that phrase. Very difficult to mistake
allegedly.
That. It was pretty obvious.
Allegedly.
And what was the phrase? And then I'll try to throw you off by saying
shut the F up. Was the phrase.
Might have been get the F up for the crowd, but neither here nor there.
That's not the interesting parts of what happened last night. Chris Cody wished for America to sweat last night. America sweat because it was a close game.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark was because, look, man, she's the biggest star in the sport, and the microscope is going to be on her in a way that now, if you think politics aren't going to come to sports everywhere, watch what happens when everything escalates here and she gets accused of either sore loser or dirty, because I don't think people understand how hard it is to be as dominant in that sport as she is. So the story from last night is, she played a close game. It looks like somebody's going to beat her because no one's as great as her.
Right. And also the referees, salute to all the referees in the NCAA. Get it together, men's league and the women's league. There were some questionable no calls in that game and calls in that game for one team or neither. But neither here nor there, because it was an epic performance by her and its squad.
Yeah.
Also, across the pond, if you will. Baby, we're calling it across the pond now.
Yeah.
Juju Watkins and USC, gutsy performance last night, late in the night. They don't get enough eyes from the East Coast because they have that window. It's so late, like LeBron and them girls. But it was a great performance her. And then Gino tried to insert Paige in the best player of the year conversation last night, which is, she's the best player in the league.
Yeah,
you feel me?
For me.
Salute to Gino, but you, brother, are tripping because there are girls out here who deserve that. But salute to Paige. You're doing a wonderful job.
Yeah. Okay, Lucy Lesso. everyone loves Lucy, but she's grifting a bit. It's like, I've got to get to Iowa and want to eat ice cream. I've got to be part of the media. And what it Tony, you look like you appreciate the grift. Like
I always appreciate a good grift. You always have to have something in your back pocket, Dano. That's the thing.
We want to be a part of this story. Lucy's there. What kind of content?
She's doing great work.
She was eating ice cream. She was at a bar.
I've denied the allegations.
Lucy was mentioning in that video several times how hard she was working on this video.
Exactly. It's hard. Also, that. Lucy is from Iowa, where she went to the school, so her heart is on the court.
She's from North Carolina.
Was too close. Yeah. You feel me? She couldn't snap in. Yeah. She was worried. I love her.
Well, I'll be happy to let you guys know that I reached out to Lucy to see if she'll be joining us today to recap great game.
Good
big game.
Executive
Everybody's
producer work.
About,
good. Yeah, so. Rule with an iron fist.
Yeah, well done, Billy.
Is she actually going to join us?
No, she said she's not going to. She's flying today, but
damn.
I reached out. So.
Yeah, she's tired from that other video.
Right, she got flights to catch.
Yeah. She's got the giant imaging.
Do we have something from her work over there?
Meadowlark Media paid all sorts of money for the Iowa correspondent imaging so that everywhere she landed. Look, man, didn't we already reveal that in Iowa one time, like a drone was flying over? We were trying to get our exclusive.
Allegedly.
Do you have the Iowa correspondent?
Lucy Rodine, Iowa correspondent.
Maybe tomorrow.
We'll see. Of her eating ice cream video.
Replay the other video. It was so good.
Free ePay.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Lebatard.
A recreation of the iconic scene in A Few Good Men, as told by Chris Cody.
Stugatz.
Colonel Jessup. Did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to them.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I so love Jermell's diligence here. This is clearly an airport lounge. There is so much to talk about, though, that we had to reach out and get her wherever it is that she was in the world. She could be anywhere in the world because there is so much to talk about. So, Jermell, I'm going to offer you the floor and ask you which of yesterday's topics, sports or otherwise, was the most interesting to you, but there's plenty of them, and I don't know which you're going to choose.
Okay. I'm imagining myself on Price is Right right now or some game show. I'm going to pick otherwise.
because you've got on the list, Jermell, you've got two gambling stories in sports that are going to be the new normal, whether we realize it or not, as soon as this all comes under inspection. We have a catastrophe in Baltimore that is heartbreaking to talk about, the video of which is crushing, and we can all put ourselves in the inside of a calamity in that moment, and it sort of brings a humanity together when you can all imagine yourself in the same position of, oh, life can go that quickly right from under my feet, literally. And you've got Kim Mulkey as well, because the journalism around the Kim Mulkey story to me remains fascinating, and what Kim Mulkey did on the offensive to make sure that whatever comes out next, we're going to shrug our shoulders and say, is that all? When is that all is probably going to be a toxic work culture that everyone can condemn unless you file it under. Well, she wins. So which is your choice, Jermell? Which of those would you like?
Well, Dan, I feel like you wanted me to pick sports. Fine, Dan, I'll change my mind. I'll pick sports.
It's no, okay. And then I, and then Caitlin Clark. And then Caitlin
there
Clark.
You go.
Okay.
Juju Watkins.
Okay, there we go. Let's do it. Let's go sports. Well, listen, I mean, it was, as you mentioned, a lot going on in these last couple of days. And I guess I'll just start with the last thing you mentioned, Kim Mulkey, for example. And this is unfortunately a part of the culture that we're in right now. You know, every day there's a fight to do good journalism. And I feel like that fight has been lost. You know, I hate to sound very pessimistic, as I often I find myself being these days, but Kim Mulkey played from a playbook that has worked. It worked for the former president of the United States as well. Once you label the news media the enemy of the state, and once you are able to get people distracted from whatever is the information to come, listen, Kent Babb, who is supposedly the journalist who is working on the story, he should be very happy. I don't know if the Washington Post was planning to put the story behind a paywall, but put one down by it now, because now we're all interested. Kim Mulkey basically drew attention to a fire we didn't even know was happening. And a lot of people look at this as a strategy to get out front. I think it was a bad strategy, because we're more interested than ever in this story. And not to mention, even though she said afterwards that, you know, her team wasn't distracted. I mean, LSU didn't, despite the final score, they didn't play particularly well. I'm not saying that these two things are related, But we get on players all the time and use the word distraction to include everything under the sun. And here you have the coach kind of doing the same thing. Listen, journalism has lost the overall fight. I mean, misinformation and disinformation is here. And now if you just label everything to be fake or label everything to be true, whether you've seen the evidence or not, that is enough of a seed that is planted in people's mind to already have an opinion about something that they haven't seen. Investigative journalism is hard work. It's practically dead in our industry because it's costly, because there's only a limited number of people who can do it. And then, you know, on top of that, it creates a level of backlash that a lot of news organizations are no longer comfortable accepting. But do know this, the Washington Post has been at this a very long time. And Kim Mulkey can threaten, her threatening the paper that brought us Watergate, that took down Richard Nixon, is laughable and amusing in itself. I mean, a lot of how Kim Mulkey has behaved has been excused, I think. I mean, I think she's gotten a pretty golden pass when you look at the totality of the things that she said and done. And some of that has to do that we're still in this phase right now with women's sports, and especially with women's basketball as it's exploding before our very eyes, that there is a protectiveness that is put over this sport because it has been unfairly treated by the NCAA. News media organizations have not put a lot of resources into covering women's sports. So what you do get sometimes is this need to not just protect it, but to cheerlead for it. And because of that, a lot of the things and toxic traits that we've seen in male sports for a long, long time, they exist on the women's side as well. And they go undercover because, frankly, they haven't. A lot of what has been covered in women's sports has not been covered with the same level of scrutiny and to the degree that men's sports have. And so Kim Mulkey has, frankly, gotten a pretty big pass given her level of success. This is not unique in the sense that we've seen very powerful coaches who are able to win and bring championships. They are allowed to behave as they want to behave as long as they're winning. So I'm very curious. I mean, this could be anything from Kim Mulkey cut somebody off in traffic to massive NCAA violations to traffic to toxic culture, as you mentioned. I have no idea, but I know that I'm interested now. But I hate it for our profession that this is once again shedding a light on what is the state of journalism at this moment. I mean, you named off a lot of things. Gambling. All right, let's do gambling next. I'm currently working on a piece about that.
Hold on. We've got, I want to get all of this with you, but I have some journalism questions as well.
Okay.
But you hijacked the show.
Okay, my bad.
She deserves to hijack the show.
Stop that gambling conversation. Stop it.
It would be great if this whole thing was over like a traffic violation or she cut someone off, right? Yeah. She's just like so upset that they've like interviewed so many people about it.
Remember, Dan, you're implicated in normalizing sports betting across this state.
Somebody writes in here, is Dan going to be mad at everyone again for not being surprised Kim Mulkey is a POS? Everyone knows. Nobody cares because she wins. Literally the story of every POS sports person ever.
I know what POS means. I don't think Billy knows what POS means. Can you elaborate?
Thank you. Piece of shit.
Oh,
piece of shit is everyone knows this, Damn. But she wins. Well,
I watch Bar Rescue. It means something different.
Yes.
Have some integrity.
Point of service system. Yeah. Touchscreen.
Jamel,
you got 7 free ones.
I've got it on a loop in my house. I can't stop watching him. He just keeps yelling at the people.
It's one of my 5 favorite shows on TV. Like, in a bucket list of things that I want to do, that I want to accomplish, and however long I have left on this magical earth, I want to be on the recon team for Bar Rescue. I want the shitty beer. I want the food that will probably make me sick and throw up all night. John Taffer, if you're listening, recruit me for the recon team.
Nice. This is great. I got something to run by you. What's your opinion on bigger balls?
Hell yeah.
In the NBA, to restrict people from shooting outside, having balls that are just slightly bigger.
I didn't know where that was going, because my bag is early in the morning. I was like, what?
Well, it'll legislate shots from downtown on its own if you naturally have a ball that's maybe just increased by like a centimeter.
Can I explain to Jamel that we want a new advertising campaign for basketball that fixes everything, not the games, but the images and the scoring and the problems. And we're saying be hedonistic, bigger balls.
Fix games.
Yeah. Fix games.
Limit threes.
Fix games. Okay. All righty. Well, that took a turn, as they say. I was not prepared to have an opinion about bigger balls, but I'll lean into you all's expertise because clearly you've thought about this much longer than I have.
Good. She wants only areas.
These aren't ornaments. These serve a purpose. Yeah.
Areas of expertise, because wow. I want to get into the thicket, Jamel, so to speak, of the specifics of how this story comes to be. Because you say investigative work, but this is an enterprise reporter. This is not 2 years of reporting. This is somebody who's wanted to do this story for 2 years, but hasn't been working exclusively on it. We've been trying to get the writer on because I want to understand a little more what Kim Mulkey just did, what the strategy of it was in today's America, where the playbook for the strategy of what's going to be reported here by an enterprise reporter. Right now, Kim Mulkey knows because the questions told her. She knows. We don't know. And everything she did the other day was preemptive. It was strategic. It had more thoughts in it as a defense than anything Otani did. And what she does by neutering it before it gets started is the reporting has to be so vigorous on, are you going to accuse this person of toxic workplace culture, of being cruel and demeaning to human beings? Are you going to accuse her of that? And she can ward it off by saying, well, it's just embellishments. I'm telling you on the front end, this is a hit piece when it's not that. That I can assure you of, that it's not gratuitously something meant to harm her. It was somebody who went to report that story, a feature on her life, and then came upon a bunch of things that are probably going to be really uncomfortable about what her workplace is. That's what I would guess.
Well, and people have to understand this, too, is that when you have fascinating figures in sports, and Dan, when you were at the Miami Herald, you did this many, many times, is that you seek as a journalist to understand why they're so successful. Why have they been able to create the winning and the championships and all the things that she's been able to create? So the natural curiosity should be there in explaining who this woman is and how she's risen to power. Now, lately, and certainly beyond the championships, the reason that Kim Mulkey often is in the news is not usually the best reason. It's not usually the best publicity for her or for her program or for the school. I mean, when you look at the whole season that LSU has had, look at where it started. It started with Angel Reese mysteriously being gone, there being some hints of some kind of discord or some kind of problem happening within the team. We know about Kim Mulkey's very frosty, attitude toward Brittany Griner, particularly when she was being detained in Russia. You know, there have been all these elements and all these, pieces that have been leading us up to who is this woman and how is it that she came to be this way? So that is a very natural question for any journalist to ask. And this particular journalist is considered to be one of the best. And typically, what we shouldn't do when we walk into these situations is write the story in our head or in our mind before we actually do some reporting. And it's possible it is just what you said, that he started reporting on this story to try to explain this towering figure in women's basketball and came upon something that she clearly finds distasteful based off the questions that she had been asked. Now, as you know, covering sports as long as you have, Dan, and I see my man Greg sit next to you, and I'm sure he could chime in on this as well, is that a lot of times these people in sports who are in these positions don't want to be questioned. They don't want anything beyond the narrative that they try to set. And when you come upon or you're able to report and explain a different narrative than what they presented, they get very, very mad about this. So the reaction is not new. It's something that we've seen virtually with anybody who has any prominence in sports.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Dan Le Batard.
Chris Cody does an impression. Just be careful.
dangerous game here. This is a dangerous game.
I don't want to play this game.
No, he was saying, man, I could do such a great Kendrick
Perkins. No, I don't want to play this game.
He's like, man, I can talk just
gonna,
like him.
This is who we're going to trust
Amin,
with
you
this.
Do it. Let's let Amin do it, I think.
Stugatz.
I think you could do it, Chris, because you did a great Charles Barkley. You're one for one there.
Did no one just hear the segment we just did with Amin? We cannot be
Amin's
taking
judgment is not the
counsel
best.
From the local drunk on whether or not you should do the impersonation of a black man stumbling over his words. Like, you don't see the bad in that.
There was.
Moses Moody? Moody Moses? Moses
don't,
Moody?
You need that. It sounds Chris. Worse.
Be careful, man.
We gotta, like, we cannot do this. It's too close to the line. This is where the line is. Something legitimately funny can't be funny because we're scared our ginger's going to do something racist by accident.
Carry the hell on, Dan.
Rachel.
Dan, the line is where we feel alive, though.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Comrades, real quick, how can we have an integrous conversation about journalism when we're dodging questions about bigger balls?
Wow. This is...
I'm going to press you on these bigger balls. You have not answered the question. Would bigger balls fix the NBA?
I'm sorry, I'm too immature to even ask.
Well, see, this is the Jamal. This is why he insists on wasting your time when we have.
This is not a waste of time. You haven't heard that anywhere. Just make the ball just a little bit bigger. I'm fixing the game that clearly has an issue.
Okay. I'm trying to do all a right. serious thing with my journalist friend who knows about. I mean, we haven't
your
even.
Your journalist friend is dodging a very simple question. How do you feel about bigger balls in the NBA?
So you want this to be like the carnivals that we go to, you know, the street carnivals and stuff that's how they rig it. That, right?
Those are smaller rims. Talking about bigger balls. It's a different thing.
Different issue.
More cost effective this way.
Okay. I don't want to talk about
it. I want to have what Mike had.
I don't want to talk about bigger balls. I do have
an epiphany?
I do have a question for you, Jamel. I think after 2 years of reporting and a very aggressive press conference by Kim Mulkey, I'm concerned that if what comes out of this is toxic workplace, that might not be enough for the American public. They're going to go, much ado about nothing. Like, she's the only one who
but
has a toxic
workplace? That's what's brilliant about the strategy, Jamel. The thing I was mentioning again and again yesterday, and it's a dumb strategy, but it's a brilliant one. If you can neuter all the hard work that you have to do to get all of these accusations vetted so that they're not something that can be proven false, and that the person is threatening you with a lawsuit before you ever get started, can undermine all of your reporting just by shouting fake news, hit piece. It doesn't, you can defend yourself very easily against good fact-based journalism that way if it's that unfair of a fight. And Jamel's here to tell you that all over the media, the journalism has, like, it's self-inflicted. This wound, this credibility wound is self-inflicted, Jamel.
Yeah, it is. I mean, despite the fact, again, that we had a former president who brought fake news to the lexicon and really, you know, sort of put a target on all journalists back with his behavior towards journalists and everything that was ever written negative about him, calling it fake news. I agree with it. The reality is that the journalism as a news industry, as an industry period, has been complicit in its own demise. Let's look at what's happening at NBC right now, where they have hired, you know, Ronna McDaniel, who is the former Republican National Committee head, who actively tried to steal an election. Okay, this is not an opinion. This is not, you know, conjecture. We know what she did. You know, and she made calls to Michigan election officials to try to get them to not certify the election. And we know she did this. It is on record. And to platform somebody like that and have the own journalist within your organization rebelling against this hire, it just shows you where you are. Like, everybody's boiled everything down to a disagreement, but we can't have disagreement about facts. That's what we can't do. And unfortunately, we are in the age where it's okay to if the sky is blue and we all see it, for somebody to call us red and then everybody say we should tolerate that opinion just because it's different. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You can't debate and disagree with the facts. You can debate and disagree with opinions, with things that are not facts-based, fact-based, with feelings, with emotions. You can debate those all day. You can't debate what's in front of you. And the unfortunate part of it, as we see this political cycle playing out heading into this election, the news media has learned absolutely nothing from how it covered the last two presidential elections. Hasn't learned a thing. They are platforming people who can drive ratings. Most of the major corporations and news, as we know, are run by people who are more interested in what is financially possible or the financial interest of this company. They are not interested in the journalism, the who, what, why, where, why of it all is boring. Now you have to have this scintillating entertainment that has made political journalism and journalism period feel a lot more, no disrespect, like wrestling, as opposed to feeling like something that should matter to people. Like, the part of the reason why this democracy works is because we have a functioning free press. Well, that functioning free press is on life support right now, not necessarily because it lacks the freedom, it's because they lack the guts and the honesty and the grit that it takes to do this kind of reporting. Journalists aren't supposed to be liked. We all knew that when we got into this job, but we are supposed to tell the truth. And once you eliminate that part of it, along with the accountability, this is why it's okay to platform election deniers. This is why you have coaches in press conferences calling something fake and saying that something shouldn't be listened to or regarded in any light because it somehow paints you in a bad light. This is why we have this entire conversation going on in our business. And I would say I fear it's destroying the business. I feel like we've already lost. It has destroyed the business.
Jermell, you said in there, no disrespect wrestling. I know you were saying that to wrestling and wrestling fans, but I thought you were saying...
Oh, high horse. I saw her at a WrestleMania once. Wow. It's having a moment. It's cool.
I was at WrestleMania. It's true. He's not lying.
Dwayne beat Cody's ass last night.
I threw shade at something, a lot, polite shade. Polite shade.
Well, but it was polite.
I attended.
But when I took it, we were talking about journalism, and I took it as you were saying to us, no disrespect, but to us, the wrestling show that introduces you with its hedonistic bigger balls, that we were playing the part of wrestling. And this is the question I want to ask you. It's a yes or no question, because I want to get to the Diddy stuff. I think you've got valuable insight for us here, but this is a yes or no question. And you can only say yes or no. In women's basketball, are we headed here with Caitlin Clark and the competitiveness of whatever it is this is going to look like against white against black, because sociology always comes to sports? Are we looking at a possibility that we get white versus black around Caitlin Clark, like Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did to birth the league many years ago as a television spectacle? Are we going to get the race element of all of this to make an appearance in a way that's going to create real rivalry and storyline? Yes or no?
Before I answer, do we have to cue the friendly neighborhood race lady music or no? Or can I just answer?
No, yes, we'll do that. But Billy has to do that.
Just anyway. Started enjoying this story. Okay. You want to ruin it?
It's time for your friendly neighborhood race lady.
And to answer your question, yes, Dan. Okay. Yes, we are getting that. The racial pornography started last year in the championship between Iowa and LSU.
It was just a yes or no. It was just a yes or no question.
She's elaborating.
Yes.
No, but it was just.
It requires an elaboration, quite honestly.
Thank you.
I didn't
believe you press her on that and not the bigger balls there.
Okay. Jesus. I didn't want to.
Still hasn't answered it.
I didn't want to press the bigger
balls. Well, most people hadn't considered it.
Let's stop pressing the bigger balls. Jermell. The Diddy story that captured the internet. The internet was meant for that story, and I thought I was watching sort of, this is going to be O.J. Simpson, right? Is he going to do what Russell Simmons did? So what did we see yesterday? All of it alleged.
All of it alleged. Let's throw that big A word out there. You know, what we saw for a lot of people, as we've seen as these figures have continued to fall, we saw somebody who, for a lot of us who grew up in the age, the heyday of Bad Boy, we saw the crumbling of something that is been like an institution in many ways. You know, this is my early 20s, like just going up in smoke. And I know there's been a lot of that lately. I don't feel sad for Diddy. I don't feel, I feel empathy for his children for sure, because that had to be a startling image for a lot of people. And I'm sure certainly for him to see his children in handcuffs. But this is where we are right now. You know, the Diddy is facing a number of very serious allegations that were all played out. You know, most of these have been civil allegations, but you knew that at some point the criminal element of this would surface, and it has. And, you know, you mentioned Russell Simmons. There have been similar allegations about him. And what you have found is that this art form, you know, hip hop that was created, there is an underbelly of disgust that has existed in this art form for a long time. That doesn't mean the art form didn't serve its purpose. It doesn't mean that it wasn't revolutionary. And the success that has been there and that has been connected, especially obviously to the Black community, that doesn't mean that those things that it has brought to our community go away. But there have, you know, if somebody told me this a long time ago, and I remember when they said it, I was just like, that's, you know, I just sort of blew it off. But it is true. Your favorites are probably problematic, and they're probably awful. And you know, it's just one of those things that while there have been rumors about Diddy for years, I never thought that this moment would actually come where you would see this man who is responsible for bringing in or taking hip hop to a new height, for bringing in the artists that we have loved our whole lives, that you would see him essentially in a situation where it almost looks like he's on the run. It was just very surreal, you know, to see. And I know a lot of the chatter, at least among in my group chats with my friends, after so many of the memes were shared, not to belie the seriousness of it, but for a lot of us that grew up in that 90s heyday listening to Bad Boy music or listening to Puffy inspired music, it was just kind of like, wow. I just never would have guessed when I was in college bopping to some of this, that fast forward 30 years later, that this man's reputation would be completely destroyed. I mean, there's, to me, regardless of what happens criminally, there is no coming back for Diddy at all. I mean, I think the last time we discussed this, I said as much. I think his reputation is permanently destroyed. But if he has done any, even a tenth of what he's accused of, I don't really have a problem with it.
Right. Seeing him walk around that airport disheveled was my first time seeing the crack in his demeanor and his armor. It's like, wow. Like, he had a lot of opportunities to show it earlier, but yesterday I feel like with seeing his children in handcuffs, I feel like the reality of the situation is finally actually setting in for real.
Jamel, we have less than 30 seconds here. Please close it out for us.
Well, you know what? You know what else struck me about this situation, too? And it just, again, it's one of those snapshots where you're like, this is where we are in America. Here you have Diddy facing multiple, you know, we don't know what he's facing criminally, but we do know, again, on the civil side, multiple allegations of sexual assault, a very degrading, dehumanizing behavior, all of that. And then at the same time, we have the leading presidential candidate for the Republican Party, who is facing 91 felony counts, who has credibly been convicted of rape in the case with E. Jean Carroll, who is facing millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in legal fees and payments that he owes for his behavior. And he's running for president. And Diddy's there in Miami circling a building trying to figure out how his life fell apart. And I just, the juxtaposition of that really struck me when I was watching yesterday. I was like, so I guess Diddy should have just been running for president.
I know we out of time, you know what I mean? Thank you, Neighborhood Race Lady. But I run the social media account, so I see all the hatred that comes your way.
Friendly Neighborhood Race Lady.
I see all the hatred that comes your way, and I want to say from the community, we admire you and we love you, sis. Thank you so much for representing us in the right way all the time.
I appreciate that. Thank you all for having me, and now I'm going to get out of my hostage closet and go catch this flight.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate the time, Jamel. Didn't answer.
Keep dodging the tough questions.
Didn't answer the hard-hitting question, though. Never did. Coward journalist.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.